You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 1st of September, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. And we just about managed to get there and pull the podcast off. We're having all sorts of technical issues. We've had problems connecting with Skype. We've had problems connecting with the phone. And Dennis just rebooted and we finally managed to connect. And hopefully you guys can hear me okay in the chat room. Hopefully you'll let us know if you can. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Dennis Wise, producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Well, we've only just got together. My God.
And you've just woken up as well, I believe.
Well, yeah, that doesn't help the fact that I'll give you that one.
Well, yeah, I tell you, I mean, we're 24 hours a day here at Radio Air, and we've got people listening to it at all hours of the day. We've got listeners in America. We've got listeners in Australia. We've got listeners all over Europe. So I'm really not surprised that you have these late nights. I suspect that a lot of the time, if you're doing interviews in America, it's going to be a late night, isn't it?
So it can be, yeah. But what happened last night was I was finally getting Part 7 to move the direction I wanted it to. So I didn't want to give up on it because once that happens, you know, it's easy to lose the track again. So I stuck with it through the night. And then obviously it hit me bang today because I had enough sleep.
Well, at least you managed to get here. At least you are here and we can make this podcast. You were telling me about some of the stuff that people have got to look forward to, some of the subjects people have got to look forward to in Part 7, black magic and the Pentagon. And a lot of it was things that I really don't know much about. So I think we're quite lucky that we've got another story that we can talk about this week. And then we can do the black magic thing next week. I mean, we're all well aware of the way that Germans have been persecuted by the Jews, especially the Germans that fought in the war. But there's been a recent case, which I first heard about in a Jewish magazine. I forget if it was a Jewish Daily Forward or something. And it's also been in the Daily Mail now, about a brave German who fought in the war and is now in his 90s and he's being persecuted by these Jews. And I thought we could just have a look at this trial and what's happened, because there are a lot of points in the story I think that we could discuss. So I'll go through it sort of one sentence at a time and then we can discuss it. Well,
anyway,
you've already had a look at this, but our listeners obviously haven't. And I'll take the Daily Mail version of it, I think. And it's entitled Case Against Nazi Medic Who Helped Kill 3,700 Jews at Auschwitz Should Be Thrown Out, Say German Prosecutors, Because He's Unfit for Trial. So if we just look at that sentence there, it says that it's a case against a Nazi medic who helped kill all these Jews, and it should be thrown out. So he hasn't been found guilty of helping kill 3,000 Jews at all. He's an innocent man by the standards of all Western law. He's an innocent man, and yet the headline is already pronouncing him guilty. And then it expands upon this, and it says German prosecutors have called for the case of a 96-year-old Nazi medic who helped kill thousands of Jews at Auschwitz to be thrown out because he is deemed unfit for trial. So once again, they found him guilty before they've actually had the trial, and the guy is 96 years old, and they're still going after him. Hey, what do you think of this, Dennis?
Yeah, I've just seen a photo of him in the trial. I mean, 96-year-old, I mean, I hate to think what it must be like at that age to have this kind of hounding. I mean, it's just incredible, really. I mean, the guy... he served 4 years already, according to what you said early on. And then they went after him again. This is just after the war where he served 4 years. They never give up. It is what I've said all along. It's a communist purge. And they want to wipe every single National Socialist off this planet.
Well, if you think about it as well, I mean, he's a medic. He was a nurse.
Yeah.
He was a nurse. A doctor helping out with the sick and the injured and the wounded. And now he's been punished for that. It says,
well, they twist that, don't they? I mean, the hospital at Auschwitz was twisted not to be of a good use, but they twisted it so it's experiments. So the fact that he's a medic can work against him in many ways, because he's then seen to be, you know, with this collection of Nazis, what they put together throughout the years, to say that they were actually mad scientists or mad medics.
So the hospitals that they had there weren't really hospitals. They were wild experimentation centres.
They have to have an excuse, don't they, why it's there, and that's what they came up with.
And the nurses were mad scientists. What proof do they have for that, Dennis?
I don't think they've got any proof, but I don't think they need any proof, because as we know, the Holocaust laws today, there is no plea of not guilty. You're either guilty, please be lenient, or guilty, and, you know, the mental home is your next stop.
So we can't actually ask them to provide any proof for this experimentation. We've just got to accept their word yeah. for it.
So that's it. I mean, that's what Holocaust law itself is. There's no question about it, whether it happened or not. It happened. This is what they say. It happened. I live with it. And then all the consequences come with that trial then.
Well, it says here that Hubert Zafke had faced 3,681 counts of being an accessory to murder at the concentration camp in Nazi-occupied Poland. The concerns over his mental and physical health led to repeated postponements of the trial, which began in February 2016 in the northeastern lakeside town of New Brandenburg. So what it's saying there is the trial began in 2016, but the next sentence, it tells you that he was diagnosed with dementia 1 year before. It says, Stefan Urbanek, a spokesman for the regional prosecutor's office, said in a statement that medical evaluations in March and July this year had found the wheelchair-bound Zafke unfit to stand trial, and Urbanek then said the experts reached this conclusion after having diagnosed dementia in 2015, leading to a determination that Zafke could only stand trial on a limited basis. So the trial began in 2016, and yet they themselves had diagnosed him as having dementia in 2015. So what were they possibly hoping to gain from this, other than to torture an elderly, disabled man?
Well, I think all that comes into it as well. I mean, these people are what you say they are. I mean, they have tortured throughout the war and after. The fact remains that these cases never actually make, you know, the mainstream news. I believe there's 2,000 every year in Germany court cases over this, and hardly any reach, you know, the mainstream Sky or BBC. It's all kept under wraps, and that's because of these tyrannical rules, which, you know, in any court. I mean, it's a problem when, you know, they've tried to cut off all avenues, and when they're arresting your lawyer for speaking on your behalf, that's how much of a problem it is.
Well, that's a different case, though, really. I mean, that's revisionism. Oh, yeah. That's Holocaust
it's
denial.
It's all the same umbrella, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is somebody that was in the war, that was a medic, that was helping to save Jews' lives. So, I mean, this one has received publicity, and really it should have everyone saying, well, just what's going on here? How can you take a 96-year-old man to court when you discovered a year before that he actually had dementia? Surely a court case is all about getting to the truth of a matter. That's what court cases are about. Somebody makes an accusation of a crime, you have witnesses, you have evidence, and you try and get to the truth of the matter, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And what you've actually got here is somebody who cannot defend himself, who's got dementia, who they can pretty much just make any accusation they like at him, and he can't defend himself in any way. This is all just about vicious, vindictive behaviour by these Jews that wanted to torture this poor man in the last years of his life. And that's the reward he gets for daring to help them during the war. Because that's what these medics did. That's what happened when they were in the camps, wasn't it? Their lives were preserved. The Germans' lives weren't preserved. They weren't looked after in camps. The Jews were.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, with him receiving the 4-year sentence after the war, actually, when I did the research on the greater story, the count they came up with the first Holocaust trials was 45,000. And that's in the books, that 45,000 estimated died. And he's just, obviously, he's got punished around that time. So it would have been, you know, around that figure. I mean, if he had done anything, if he had any proof of gassings, I'm pretty sure they would have executed him anyway. But they obviously didn't at the time. So he's done his 4 years just by being a guard. And now, obviously, they're coming again later in his life.
Well, we get to that bit later in the actual news story where it says that he's already actually been inside. The guy's already actually done 4 years straight after the war. He's already been tried for this crime, and now they're trying him again. So it's double jeopardy. It tells you about that later on in the news piece. So just this bit here is telling you that he's got dementia, and yet they're still taking him to court over this. And they actually say that the dementia has reached a severity so much that the defendant is no longer able, inside and outside the courtroom, to reasonably assess his interests or coherently follow or give testimony. I mean, this just turns everything about a court case on its head. I mean, you might as well put a chimpanzee in there and take a chimpanzee to court. You know, it's like the verdict has already been decided, and they just want to... Yeah, they just want to put this guy through torture and pain in his later years.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's very similar to the John Demjanjuk trial when they picked him up in America and then they tried him in Israel. But luckily, he had one of the politicians out there went out with him. But I forget his name there, but he was always... making speeches against the Jews, managed to get him out. But then they came back again and then sentenced him in Germany. So if you can't do it in Israel, then you'll do it in Germany. But one way or another, they'll get the cooperations from governments. And this is the result you get. You know, 96-year-old guy who's got dementia, probably doesn't even know what's going on around him.
Well, he doesn't know what's going on. That's just it. He's got no idea what's going on. They admit that. And yet these Jews are furious. I mean, like you just said, they like to try and get them to Israel. I think that's what they're really angry about, is that this court case took place in Germany. And if they had have dragged him out to Israel, they would have just put him on the stand and then found him guilty and then pronounced it as more evidence for the proof of the Holocaust. Never mind the fact that the guy can't answer back. I mean, this is as ridiculous as, I think it was 200 years ago, some people in a northern town, you might know about this, Dennis, they found a monkey and they thought the monkey was a Frenchman and they put the monkey on trial and they ended up hanging the monkey. How ridiculous that is. I mean, how can a monkey answer the questions or speak or defend himself or anything like that? Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And yet the same thing is going on now, 200 years later, we're putting someone in the dock that can't defend themselves, probably doesn't even know his own name. And yet they're calling this justice. This is a court of law. This is a court of law in 2017 in Germany. They will put demented people in the dock.
The actual law is as admitted in Germany as the truth is no defense. That's the whole thing about it. It doesn't matter even if it's true. They don't care. The fact is, they believe it happened. You believe it happened. There is no argument. And suffer the consequences. But how the hell can you do a court case under the truth is no defence?
That's just it. I mean, the whole point of a court case is to get to the truth of a matter. And if the truth is no defence, what's the point of the court case? What is the point of having it?
It's to officially, I think why they do it is to officially imprison these people and send out a warning to other people who may want to talk out against it. But also, it's just a welding of power. I mean, to be able to do something like that takes power. You know, nobody actually stands up against these people, and so it is welding this power.
Well, they're certainly certainly powerful to be able to do this and to turn our justice system on its head. It says here, Thomas Walther, a lawyer for two co-plaintiffs, sons of a woman murdered at Auschwitz. I don't know how they know she was murdered at Auschwitz, because we don't actually have any autopsy reports for anyone that was murdered at Auschwitz. It says they criticized the state's handling of the case, but acknowledged that the prosecutor's motion to end the trial complied with the rule of law. So they're furious that this actually had to be stopped. And it was stopped. It was stopped because they were required to by law. It says the prosecutors were required by law, after receiving the independent medical evaluation, to submit a motion to dismiss the case. So if it hadn't been for that fact, this case would have still gone on. And these people who claim that a woman murdered at Auschwitz was something to do with them, they're furious about this. They just want to see him punished. They don't want to even establish that the guy's guilty. They just want to see him punished because he's a German. Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, as they do want to punish all Germans. I mean, this reparations thing, they've now passed on to the next generation. So this is going to be a continuation of this financial rape of Germany, if you like. These reparations now, instead of ending when, you know, the so-called Holocaust victim has died, it's now passed on to the children and the grandchildren under the excuse of, the trauma that they suffered listening to these stories about the Holocaust from the grandparents or parents or whatever. And so now that entitles them to the same reparations, which means this is going to go on and on and on.
Well, how can they claim that they're traumatized by these stories on the one hand, and then on the other hand, they create holograms of these so-called Holocaust survivors so that they can retell those stories, the very stories they say they were too traumatized by, so they can retell those stories to the young, innocent white children that haven't got their critical faculties yet and believe anything they're told? Yeah. How can they say that? We're so traumatized by these stories, we need reparations, and yet at the same time, we're going to traumatize your children with these stories demand reparations, still demand reparations.
Yeah, and get them at an early age for the Holocaust Museum to then they have like a kind of a Disney World type of thing where kids are shown through it. Machine guns, Germans shouting at the top of their voices, to create this so-called replica of what actually happened in the camp. So by the time these school children go through this, it is what it is. It's, you know, it's a Disneyland type of effect where they come out hating every German one ever lived.
Sinister mountains of shoes and bits of hair and being told about the dew soap. All these things that have been disproved. And yet, if you say they've been disproved, you'll be attacked. This is an established part of the Holocaust. You can't question it. You can't defend yourself against it. And this guy, I mean, he couldn't defend himself against it even if he wanted, because he was completely demented by this time. But we actually hear a bit about what he was and who he was. It says proceedings against Zafke, a farmer's son. So, I mean, he's a farmer, he's a worker who joined the Nazi Party's elite police force, the Waffen-SS, at age 19, had already been halted last October following complaints that the judges were biased. I don't know how the German judges could be biased in any way, trying a German, on German courts. Surely you should be tried by your people, not by anyone else. It's any other people that are going to be biased. And it tells you he was in the Waffen-SS. Now, if he was in the Waffen-SS... if he was in the Waffen-SS, he was fighting against Bolshevism. He was fighting against communism. He enlisted, he volunteered to fight on the Eastern Front. That's what the Waffen-SS did.
Yeah, and that's why they were persecuted more than any German soldier. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm on the same website as you. I'm on the Times of Israel. I've just noticed a comment, and this comes from a healthcare assistant at Liverpool's Women's Hospital. Burn in hell, you pathetic excuse of a human being. I hope hell is hot enough for you, prick. This is a healthcare assistant in Liverpool.
This is just it, then, isn't it? Those Jews are so vindictive and vicious. You can see that from their comments. This they're not interested in the fact whether he's innocent or guilty. They just want to see him punished. They just want the world to get behind them and punish another one of these nasty Germans. But this German, I mean, he fought against communism. That's what he was doing. He was in the Waffen-SS, which we've talked about so many times, Dennis, haven't we? About volunteers that fought to defend Europe. And he was a medic as well. So he'd obviously learned how to be a medic while he was actually during the war. He wasn't doing experimenting on people. There's no evidence for these experiments. And if there is any evidence for the experiments, all it would be is progress in medicine. I think there was quite a bit of a progress in medicine, wasn't there, with blood tests and some of the things that they did. But it certainly wasn't experiments where people were hurt. And I think with the army, I mean, oftentimes the army would test things on themselves, wouldn't they? Jump out of planes and testing out parachutes and things like that. You certainly wouldn't trust Jews with doing that.
Well, it's like everything positive, what we found out about Auschwitz, we're like a swimming pool. You have to either hide it from the public who visit the camp, or, you know, they make up some excuse of why it was actually there. And as I mentioned in the hospital, Kessler Hospital, they use the experiments. For the swimming pool, you know, which is not shown these days, but when it was, the public could see it, this was just for the soldiers and the officers. And everything else, like, you know, the football fields, they have an excuse for. There's nothing positive comes out of that camp in their eyes. And it's true. This guy is imprisoned for volunteering to fight communism. But these people are communists, and they see him as that person, whether he's 96 or whether he's 18. He's still a person there in their mind needs his life ending.
Well, that's what I was taught. You know, I was taught that the swimming pool was just for the officers, and the football was just for the officers. And then you see the pictures of the games of football, where the officers and the prisoners are playing together, playing games of football together. It's not like there was, gassing them all. They were entertaining them and being sportsmanlike with them and being honourable with them. And why would you give them pastimes like a cinema, a library, a shop that you could go and buy stuff from? You wouldn't give them all of that if you just wanted to gas them. You would give people that if you wanted them to work.
That's right. Well, in the greatest story ever told, that he touched on this, was actual Jews, which the film that Spielberg had made, these were Jews which were cut out of the film. These were Jews what were telling a story that people making that movie didn't want people to hear. And so in one particular case, there's a lady talking how a young officer, blonde hair, good-looking officer, helped her with the Christmas plays. You know, they brought anything she wanted that they happily found. And they had all these plays for even children, which were at a play area. So consequently, all this has all been either covered over, or there's been an excuse made for it. But I mean, these were Jews talking, and they were talking about the football as well, because at one point one of the Jews said that one of the officers joined in, you know, and it was a case of recreation.
They had a nursery there as well. They were pregnant. They were having children. They had a dentist. And you wouldn't have all of this just for the officers, would you? If you think about it, you think about a prison, how many officers do you have? How many prison wardens do you have ratio to actual prisoners?
Yeah, prisoners, yeah.
You know, in some cases, 100 to 1. You know, you're not going to have, you're just not going to have that many officers there to prisoners.
It doesn't help when the Soviets, I think it was 1947, actually built the chimney to make it look more like a gas chamber. You know, the supposedly air shelter knocked into one big room. And so consequently, this chimney hovers over this building. So all these visitors and school children, etc., come to this camp. The first thing they see is this chimney above this, air raid shelter, if you like, but turned into a gas chamber. But they're never shown around the back, where around the back, the chimney is of no use to anybody. It just goes solely into the ground. When these people claim they saw smoke coming out of the chimney, well, for two reasons. One, you know, that never happened because there was no way smoke could come out of that chimney. And that doesn't happen anyway, you know, when these people are getting incinerated for real.
Well, that's the implication, isn't it? You've got a huge chimney there. So as soon as the people walk in, that's the first thing they see is a huge chimney, and they think, well, that must be what all these Jews were put into. They must have all just been set fire to in that, and all the smoke was coming out of the top.
Yeah,
it's not connected up to anything, and it's not the cremation ovens. The cremation ovens are something completely different, and it took a certain amount of time, 3 or 4 hours, to completely incinerate one body.
And
you could only do a limited number. And a limited amount of fuel would be required. And if you were to get rid of all the bodies they claim went, I mean, they now say it was over 1 million Jews were gassed at Auschwitz. Well, there just wasn't enough fuel to get rid of those bodies. So where are they?
It's scientifically impossible. But that doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, people have to realize that whatever truth you come up with and facts, what you come up with, is totally dismissed because under the circumstances that it happened. It happened, end of story. Don't matter what proof you bring in to prove it didn't happen. This is the way that court goes.
Well, in the next bit, we can learn a little bit about what was really going on. And I'll continue with it here. It says that the charges against Zafke focused on a one-month period in 1944 when 14 trains carrying prisoners, including the Jewish teenage diarist Anne Frank, she would be there, of course, arrived at Auschwitz-Birkenau. Frank, who arrived in Auschwitz with her parents and sister, was later transferred to another camp, Bergen-Belsen, where she died in March 1945, just 2 months before the Nazis were defeated. Well, that shows you what Auschwitz was, doesn't it? It shows you that it was just a holding pen, basically, and the Jews would then be transported elsewhere. It was a stop along a line. It was a stop along the railway line. The railway line didn't just stop there and all these Jews were shoveled into ovens. It was just like a bus stop or a railway stop. And then they would wait there until they found room for them elsewhere, and they'd go off elsewhere. And while they were there, they would be working in the factories there with the war effort, providing for everything that was needed elsewhere during the war. And they were well looked after when they were there. This is the bit that really gets me, Dennis, is they were well looked after. They had food. They had medicine. They had doctors. Yeah. They had dentists.
Exercise.
They had everything that they needed, exercise. And the poor Germans that were outside didn't have any of that because all the transportation routes and the transportation lines were bombed. And it wasn't until the last 6 months of the war that the Allies started bombing the actual food routes and medicine routes to these camps. Up until that point, the people that were in the camps were better off than the Germans that were on the outside. It's such an injustice. It just gets worse and worse the more you look at it.
Yeah, well, fortunately, this is what happens when a war on that scale is lost. You're really at the hands of the victors. And in this case, you know, the victors don't show any mercy whatsoever and still don't, nearly 75 years after.
Well, yeah, we'll hear about that in this next bit. The next bit, it says, after World War II, a Polish court in 1948 sentenced Zafke to a 4-year jail term from which he was released in 1951. So he's already served his time. He was sentenced to 4 years in 1948, and now, 70 years later, they're trying to take him to court for exactly the same crime again. Now, this is double jeopardy. Again, this is something that was always against Western law, always against our system of law. You could not be tried for the same crime twice, so that they're trying him for exactly the same thing again now. And the other thing that this shows you is that the fact that they only gave him a 4-year jail term back then, and even that was extravagant because they knew back then in 1951 that there hadn't been millions of Jews gassed. They never would have been able to get away with saying millions of Jews were gassed and this doctor or nurse was responsible for it. They just never would have been able to lie like that in court.
Yeah.
So just reading this, it proves that, doesn't it? A 4-year jail term. I mean, did they not care back then? You know, could you kill 1 million people and that was all you would get? 4 years in prison? No, well, that isn't what happened. They've lied now, and it's so far away from when this actually happened, they can get away with telling these humongous lies.
Well, if you remember, the psychological effect on the Jew, what the Americans did was bring all these people into the camps to show exactly what these nasty Nazis had done, claiming at that time that they were gassing, as was in the East, where the Soviets first brought it up. And consequently, during the mid-80s, it was found to be that there were no gassings took place in the West, in the Western camps. So consequently, only the Eastern camps were now claiming that these massacres went on, and these camps were not allowed to be investigated like those in the West. Now, mentioning those in the West, because when Buchenwald was taken over by the Americans, the SS officers there were on camp duty. The 500 were lined up against the wall without trial and just mowed down. And this is a place where no gassings were proven to be taking place. But all the prisoners claimed that, and what they would do, you know what I mean? This is their chance for revenge. A lot of these people were also beaten up by prisoners, beaten to a pulp to death. So consequently, you know, the Germans, because of this defeat, and now at the hands of these merciless victors. And it's even going on today, as we can see.
Well, this is just it, isn't it? Straight after the war, you've got Churchill's memoirs. You've got no mention of any Holocausting. You've got Roosevelt's, I think. He's got his writings. You've got everyone that was involved in the war, all the top brass, in all their memoirs, you've got no mention of this. And then in the 70s, you've got Holocaust movies start coming out and Holocaust TV series.
Using the word, I think.
Yeah, people start believing in it. So now what they're doing is that they're looking for anyone that's left alive. But now that everyone's been brainwashed and believes this lie that millions of these Jews were all gassed, now they can prosecute people for it. So they're desperate to find these old 90-year-old people, anyone that was anything to do with it, so that they can try and prosecute them for something. But back then, they never would have been able to get away with it because the people hadn't been brainwashed.
Well, not only that, but the Ernst Zundel trial in Canada, where the Jews for the first trial all turned up confident in victory, were then put to the sword by Zundel's lawyer, who was a brilliant lawyer. So much so that by the end of the trial, a lot of these Jews not only refused to come back for the retrial, but had to go away and change the writings in the books of their exploits in these camps. Because if they didn't, there would be a fear of a charge of perjury. And so a lot of these books were changed. The figures of Auschwitz were dropped, I think, by 2.5 million. And yet still people argue on the internet that it was 6 million. Nothing really changes. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I don't think a trial like that will ever again happen in public. A lot of these trials are all behind closed doors now because they were shown to be left wanting at this first trial. But unfortunately, like, they do learn from the mistakes, and here we are.
Well, they certainly won't allow any of the Holocaust witnesses to be put on the stand again because they were all shown to be faulty witnesses, making things up. As you say, they had to change what they said because it had been found out that they'd been lying. I think this is another reason why they were desperate to get this guy with dementia on the stand, because they could have got him to say anything. They really could have got him to say anything and admit anything, and then that would have been in the court record, and then they would have used that and said, look, we've got a confession here. He confessed to doing all of this. Never mind the fact that he's got dementia and no idea what he's actually talking about.
Doesn't come into it, does it? It's fact. I mean, what I see these is generally at the back end of the case. If I ever see it on the news, it'll just come on. For instance, they'll just say, like, the trial in Germany, a Holocaust trial has taken place, and so-and-so has been found guilty. And, you know, and so the presumption all the time is that he's had a fair trial and you know, obviously these Nazis are guilty because he's got found guilty again, this one. And that's how they kind of work it. But any details of the trial or any details of the evidence is kept well away.
Well, that's just it, isn't it? I mean, that takes us back to the headline. I mean, the headline tells you that he's guilty, but then it tells you that the case was thrown out of court. And it tells you he killed all these people, but the court found that he hadn't killed these people. The court found that he wasn't fit to to stand trial. He was fit to be questioned a little bit earlier, a couple of years earlier. It says, during his first questioning by German prosecutors in 2014, he denied ever having worked at Auschwitz, and in later depositions, he acknowledged his presence, but said he was unaware of the gas chambers and crematoria at the death camp until after the end of the war. So yeah. What he is saying there is, okay, you say I was there. Okay, I was there. Well, I never saw any gas chambers there. I never heard anything about gas chambers until after the end of the war. So I'm surprised they didn't try charging him with Holocaust denial for this one. Because I'm he's an eyewitness and he's telling you, I never heard anything about gas chambers until after the war. Propaganda. I mean, they're telling you he was there. Yeah. So if anybody would know, it's him.
Sorry, what we're going to say, you've got to remember the crux of all this was Bolshevism. And you know yourself what the Bolsheviks got up to when they took over Russia. People had been nailed, intestines cut out, nailed to a tree and forced to run around a tree while the intestines wrapped around the tree as they were doing it. These people are, you can't even call them sick, you know what I mean? Like, they're just not human. Now, a lot of these Bolsheviks, obviously, are in power. George Bush was one, for instance. I always look at it because he is a neocon. A neocon is a Trotskyite, and a Trotskyite is a Bolshevik. And so what went on at these prisons in Iraq was not a surprise because this is what Bolsheviks did all throughout the history. And so when you get these people in positions of power, especially a court case, there's no leniency. There's no mercy. You're nailed to that tree and you run around the tree with your intestines coming out.
Well, I think that's a nice link, though. I hadn't thought of that myself, actually. But, Trotskyites and going down to Iraq and the torture that went on in Iraq.
Yeah.
But that is exactly the same, exactly the thing that these Bolsheviks, Jews, what they've always done throughout history. They were doing things like that back when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. You can read about that in Flavius Josephus' histories, the behavior of these Jews in Jerusalem. And what they did, they projected this behavior onto the Germans and said that that's what the Germans were doing to the Jews in the camps. And what it really was is what the Bolsheviks were doing in Soviet Russia. Michael Hoffman has got a document up which tells you about these crimes that these Bolsheviks did and shows you that the mirror image that they accused the Germans of doing.
Yeah. This has been well noted over the last 70 years. Finally bits of information are coming out, and everything that the Germans were accused of actually happened to them. I mean, the Eisenhower death camps, where they weren't even fed food or given water, they just died in a field. This mass extermination of Germans, the Germans have been carrying that weight of guilt since then, thinking it was them what was causing all these exterminations of the Jews. And it's like this mass psychological warfare still going on after this time, which, like I said, affects, I mean, I'm not saying that, the Germans at the time were innocent. I'm saying that even the fact is these Germans now, which are totally innocent from all this, are still suffering and go around hating themselves, hating their history and hating the actual culture to the extent where they're welcoming Africans in.
And they're welcoming trials like this, where they're trying their own people on behalf of these vicious, vindictive Jews that have got no evidence to prove the accusations that they're making. Got no evidence against this guy whatsoever, and he's just expected to go along with it. It gives you some more
here. To call it.
Yeah, well, it tells you here that the International Auschwitz Committee, which represents Holocaust survivors, had previously sharply attacked Germany's handling of the case, saying the court was hurtling between sloppy ignorance and complete disinterest in a resolution. Well, what possible resolution could there be when you've got somebody who's got dementia, that you've got no evidence against them? What they mean by a resolution is they just wanted this guy to be found guilty. They don't care about the actual court process. I mean, that's similar to the way Negroes think. They don't care about a court process. They're just after revenge. And that's what it's supposed to be about.
I mean, if it was up to the Soviets, they didn't really want a Nuremberg. They just wanted to line up against the wall and ship them all. But The Western side of it was the fact that, well, if we have this trial, and we and obviously the assumption will be that they've been proven as guilty, then we could quite happily go along hanging 500 a week without any problem whatsoever. And it goes down in the history books. And even today, people on YouTube will quote, yeah, but you were found guilty at Nuremberg. But Nuremberg was a kangaroo court, which the Russians happily went along with in the end, because they knew the consequences of it would have given that officialdom.
Well, I think Nuremberg was the precedent, wasn't it? Once they were allowed to get away with doing that and saying that the usual rules of evidence no longer apply, we can just make it up as we go along. Once they'd done that in that huge court that the whole world was focused on, they were then free to do it elsewhere. They were then free to come out with hate speech laws, racism laws. They're free to come out with Holocaust denial laws. They're free to come out with a law, which we're going to get to in a minute, which is just incredible that they're able to get away with this one. I'll get to that in a minute. It says more than 70 years after the prosecution of top Nazis began in Nuremberg, Germany has been racing against time to try the last cogs in the Third Reich's killing machine. But the thing is, this guy's already been tried. So the fact that they are now racing against time to try and find these people to try them all over again, that just proves that what they've come up with is just made up evidence since then. There's been no evidence, just fairy tales.
It wouldn't surprise me if, like the reparations, they passed on to the next generation. Eventually, when the time is up for actually prosecuting anyone who was originally around at that time, that they then move on to the next step, where they will find, the close relatives of these people, bring out a law to state, that their relative was responsible for so many deaths, and so now these, the relatives of this person must suffer. That would not surprise me at all, because that is the continuation of a persecution which is going to be ongoing till at least a defeat in World War III.
Well, that's actually the logical result, isn't it? If you're saying that these relatives of these Holocaust survivors can say that they were traumatized by what their parents went through, then they'll be able to say, and we can prosecute the children of the people that did this, because
that's the big fear.
They're like the mirror image of them. Next, it says here, it gives us some more details on this. It says, Zafke was the fourth former concentration camp worker in the dock in the latest series of trials, following John Demjanjuk in 2011, Oscar Groening in 2015, and Reinhold Hanning last year, all convicted of complicity in mass murder. And all were tried using a new standard of evidence that it was sufficient to work at a death camp to be prosecuted, even without proof of any link to specific deaths.
So this is not a straight play field.
No evidence.
As you can see.
No evidence. They don't have to. They don't have to have any evidence at all.
Absolute power.
Just a Jew saying, "Oh, he worked at that camp." They don't even have to have proof of it. Just on a Jew's say so. And you think that this is usually on a Jew's relatives say so now, because they're that old.
Yeah, that's not a surprise to me. Because like I said, this is a vindiction which will go on and on and on, because that's what these persecutions are. They're out to wipe all remnants of that National Socialist Germany, which obviously was in a head-on clash with communism. The communists won, and the consequences have been suffered. And like I said, if it wasn't the only country in Europe which saved a lot of these people, Spain, if Spain hadn't opened the doors, they would have been trapped in Europe, wouldn't have been able to get out, would have been, put in prison, and there'd been a lot more, even more so, killed.
It's just, I'm still in shock at this. Even without any proof of any link to specific deaths, just sufficient to have worked at a camp. And then you can be prosecuted for how many deaths did they try and lay at this guy's feet? 3,681 counts of being an accessory to murder. So they wanted to say that he had murdered over 3,000 people just because he was a nurse at one of these camps. He'd gone to one of these camps to help.
If he was ordered to. I mean, if he didn't, I mean, just say, for instance, the order him to do it. And if he didn't do it, even that, he'd have probably been put to death himself. I'm not saying he actually did order him. Well, he's actually taking orders as a soldier.
Well, he'd actually volunteered to fight on the Eastern Front, didn't he? He volunteered to join the Waffen-SS. He was sent to this camp.
Out of danger.
And if he'd been under his medical oath, he would have wanted to help people. That's the oath, that you've got to medicate people that are sick. And that's what he was doing. He was helping these Jews out, and this is the way that they've repaid him. Gone after him when he's 96 years old, tortured him in a court, making him go into a court, and accused him of murdering 3,600 people. And we're supposed to think this is good. We're supposed to think this is a wonderful state of affairs. And it tells us at the end here that those cases, that's including this one that's thrown out of court, were hailed for providing a degree of catharsis for aged survivors, even if they shed little new light on the Holocaust. They're not going to shed any light on it, because they're not going to pay any attention to what the guy in the dock says. We've just proved that the case isn't about truth, and they've just admitted that. It's all about providing a degree of catharsis for aged survivors. So it's all about licking the survivors' ass, basically. Kissing their ass.
Kissing Jewish ass. And if you're unlucky to be caught in that web, you know, this is what will happen. I mean, and this web stretches now across the world. You know, there have been times of kidnappings or deportations, as Ernst Sundel was deported back to Canada, then deported to Germany. So it's a worldwide thing which is it's moving into now.
Well, it really is, isn't it? It's these Jews are just at the top of the pyramid, and you know, this case is a real extreme instance of it. But just on the Jews say so, the guy can be charged with whatever. But it reverberates throughout the rest of our court system. And if a Jew says that you're criticizing him, then that's it. It's anti-Semitism. I look at what they're doing to Jez Turner for speaking up and saying the truth about Jewish control of Britain. They're trying to say that thousands of Jews were victims of hate crime. And this is just on the say-so of this Jew that runs a so-called charity who claims that he's a victim. And the court, Crown Prosecution Service have told him that he's not a victim. He can't be a victim. They outnumbered Jez Turner 1,000 to 1. And yet somehow this guy's managed to twist the Crown Prosecution Service's arm, and they've re-looking into this case, and they've reopened it again. Just on the Jew's say-so. So this is how bad it is now. Just think how bad it's going to get later on. Just on the, you know, the Jews can just say whatever they like, and the courts will go along with it.
Well, the brainwashing has been such that, you know, I'm sure that if it broke on the news and it said something like, you know, today, so-and-so, a Nazi back in World War II has been found guilty, etc., there'll be no sympathy for that guy. As soon as the word Nazi is mentioned, that's the brainwashing what's gone on for so long. So it's like he has nowhere to turn. He'll never get public sympathy. And his lawyer is going to be in danger of being jailed as well. So he's just got nowhere to turn. And it's obviously secret and there behind doors as well. It's a problem, you know, but this is absolute power.
Well, you know what, Dennis? It's exactly what it says the world should be like in the Talmud. It says when the Jews have control, when the Jews are running the country, then the Goyim's word means nothing if it's up against a Jew. Goyim in court, the Goyim is guilty no matter what. And whatever he says, you don't have to listen to it. He's guilty if he comes up against a Jew. And that's what we've now got. That's what this court case shows.
Unfortunately, you're 100% correct.
And it was all laid out. It's laid out in the protocols of Zion as well, as that's what they were going to do. And that, you know, this is what we now have. Our word means nothing. We can even be stuck in a court case if we're completely demented and the doctor says we're completely insane. We don't even know our own name, and yet they will still put you in court and try you. And yet, when it's the other way around. When it's the other way around, they won't have it. You think when that Greville Janner, the Jew, was being charged with paedophilia, and they said, oh, no, we can't possibly put him in court because 2 months back the doctor said he wasn't fit to stand trial. And there was no headline saying Greville Janner, paedophile guilty of raping all these children, case has been thrown out of court, like there is in this instance where they've basically convicted the guy already in the headline, even though that he's been thrown out of court, is a clear double standard, isn't it?
Well, you have to understand that it's not a level playing field. I mean, when these Germans are caught in this situation, they're caught for a reason. They're not caught to be proven innocent. You know, even Israel, you know, recently the Palestinians have just disappeared off the map because, you know, Palestine now is an outside prison with only 4 hours of electricity every day allowed. So it's like, you know, the whole world stands by, knows about it, but does nothing. But the media keep it all under wraps. No doubt if ever they go into Palestine again, it's going to be the good guys, the Israelis. But this is because of the power they've got with the media, and obviously the financial side of it ties other areas up to a point where now this, that picture, that old German poster of the world being covered by a huge spider is coming to pass.
Well, you know, it's just like you say, they just want this guy, they just want to make an example out of him to please the Jews, and they're quite open about saying that. These cases were hailed for providing a degree of catharsis for aged survivors. So it's just for the benefit of these people that have made these claims that have been proved to be lies. It's just on their whim. They want to see somebody suffer. They want to see Germans suffer. So they point at someone, say he's a Nazi, and then we're all supposed to cheer and clap while they get punished. And, you know, you mentioned the instance there of what's happening in Palestine, but it's the same thing with Christopher Cantwell in America. They want to make an example out of him. Never mind the fact that he was just defending himself at Unite the Right. They want to make an example of him. So they've stuck him in prison. They've denied him bail. They're charging him with these ludicrous crimes. And the reason given for keeping him in the prison and denying him bail is because of his hate speech. Because of his hate speech. Something that doesn't even exist in law. So it's just an accusation that they make, which is a trigger word, which gets people feeling angry against whoever it is, and they think that justifies it. The rule of law is just completely—it's completely gone. We don't have the rule of law any longer. Now we've allowed Jews to do it.
We do. Exactly what you're saying is correct. We don't have a place now where the courtroom is a fair place. All that courtroom is really is you know, your sentencing.
Yeah, it's just a place where Jews can make an example of you. We used to be famous for law and order. You know, you could go to any other foreign race and ask them, who would you rather be tried in court by? And they would always say a white man. Always say a white man. Because they know that the white people aren't corrupted. We used to have no corruption in our courts when we used to believe in God, and people used to take an oath, and they swore to tell the truth, and they told the truth because they had the fear of God in them. Nowadays, yes, they just perjure themselves. Now, they think nothing of life. I've just been reading Michael Hoffman's book on the Renaissance Church of Rome, and just 100 years ago, they were having all these debates about basically when it was permissible to lie in your head or whether you could say these words on your lips. And this was a public debate. And these are things that everybody just does now without even thinking about. And back then they were concerned that these were mortal sins if you did this. If you would, you know, you'd have eternal punishment in hell if you did this. And nowadays people just think nothing of it. We've lost the moral high ground. We've given it over to these Jews.
Well, they've got a Pope now, what's leading everybody there. Consequently, practically everything he says is all New World Order, and everything all New World Order is all against any reasonable democratic society with a religion. It just doesn't happen anymore. We're going into a pagan world, and it's going to be quite a rough ride, I feel.
Well, there's that bit about the Jews will sit there as an effendi or something while the goyim, dumb goyim, does all the work. And that's exactly what we've got. I think it's the last four chief justices that we've had in Britain have all been Jews.
Yeah,
a tremendous amount of Jews in this judicial system. And we've got Gentiles that suck up to them and think that they're the masters of law and talk about Talmud as if it's a great influence on law. There's famous American judges that have said this said how wonderful the Jews are for their system of law, and yet the Talmud talks about one law for the Jews and another law for the Gentiles, and now we have this. Now we have this in Christian countries. We openly have one law for the Jews and another law for the Gentiles.
Yeah,
we've got to put it right, Dennis.
Oh,
we've got to put it right.
There'll be some divine intervention somewhere along the line, because that's what it's going to take, I think.
Certain of it. I'm certain of it. But until then, we'll keep exposing it, and you'll keep exposing it in your videos. Hopefully, you're going to have part 7 out next week, or so you tell me. So everyone's got that to look. Yeah, everyone's got that to look forward to. Also, the weekend coming up. So I'll say thank you very much, Dennis, for coming on.
Okay.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Friday with another Truthful Out Radio for you. So until then, go out and have yourselves a great weekend.
To Radio Aryan.